Hey, Beltway Park, I am so glad you're with us today. It doesn't matter if you're in our North Campus, our South Campus, or you're online. Today is going to be an incredible day. I hate that I'm not there with you. I'm actually in South Carolina ministering with one of our partner churches there. But I have asked Pastor Toby Slough to come in and share with us today. Now, if you've been around Beltway Park, you know Toby. He's one of our elder advisors. He also serves primarily as the senior pastor of Cross Timbers Church in the Argyle and Denton area. And to be honest, Toby's one of my closest friends. We talk usually several times a week, just encouraging each other, spurring one another on in the Lord. And I ask him to come in during this season because God has him do something that I think connects with something God has us doing. Recently, God had Toby write a little kid's book called Toby the Goby. It's a great resource. You're going to be able to pick it up at our physical campuses in the foyers. If you're online, you can go to Amazon and grab it. It's a great tool you'll want to get for your kids and for your grandkids. I've been reading it to my grandkids. It's been awesome. And actually, if you pick up one in person, you get a QR code, and it gives you a free digital download that we hope that you will give to somebody else who needs this resource. Toby's going to tell you some more about this and what the Lord has him doing, but it's primarily about the idea of developing mental health. It is the idea of taking hold of the mind of Christ. I mean, think about it. The mind of Christ is not fearful, it is not anxious, it is not worrisome. And the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. We want to learn to grow in that. We want to learn to help our kids grow into it. So I've asked Toby to come and share as a prelude to what we're going to be doing this fall. In a few weeks, we are going to go on a journey together called Flip the Script, Winning the War for Mental Health. And I'm telling you, I want everyone to participate. I want you to plan now to be a part of it. And to be part of Flip the Script, I'm going to ask you to do four things over 6 weeks. It is real simple. I want you to attend every service. And there's no reason we can't attend every service. We have six physical services every weekend. The first one is on Thursday night plus Thursday. We have three at our North Campus, two at our South Campus. And if you can't make one of those, we have our live online service. We even have an on-demand service. I want you to catch every service for those 6 weeks. Make it a priority. The second thing I want you to do is to actually be part of one of our small groups. We're going to journey through this together. And so I want you to be part of a group. You can be part of one of our physical groups. You can be part of one of our online groups. Whatever fits you during this season, we want to walk in community. We want to take on the mind of Christ. You're going to be able to sign up for small groups in the weeks to come. Next Sunday on the 29th, we actually have a group launch at the Abilene Zoo. If you want to come out there, we'll give you other mechanisms to be able to sign up as well. The third thing I want you to do, and I know this is radical, but we do it every fall, I want you to read a book. I know it seems like a big deal, but we're going to chop it up into bite-sized pieces that you're going to be able to do. It is a great book by Craig Rochelle called Winning the War for Your Mind. We're going to walk through that as part of this journey. You're going to be able to pick those books up at our physical campuses starting next week. And you're going to, obviously, you can pick them up at Amazon or any other online resource as soon as you want. And the fourth thing I want you to do, be thinking about it right now. I want you to invite somebody to participate. Invite somebody to be part of this journey with you who needs this journey. People all over our community are looking for ways to grab hold of some sense of health. We're struggling with fear and anxiety and worry and depression. And I'm telling you, those things don't exist in the mind of Christ. And we're going to learn to grow up more in Jesus, grab hold of the mind of Christ, and bring His hope into the world. So I am telling you right now, this is a season that you're going to want to participate. You're going to want to be a part of. But for today, I'm excited to introduce to you Pastor Toby Slough. So everyone at our physical campus, would you do me a favor? Give a round of applause and thank Toby for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I know you guys at home are clapping in your living room. I feel it through the screen. Hey, would you stand up with me wherever you are, north, south, watching from somewhere else? I want to do something. I don't do this very often, but I really felt the Lord saying, this is important, that I want to read scripture over you and then pray a blessing on you. I don't think you're online or at a campus today because you need more information. I don't think you came today to get smarter. I think you came because you want your life to change. And that's what I pray God does today. So let me just read these words from the sweet shepherd boy of Israel, the one who was called the man after God's own heart. His name is David, and in Psalm 42, he says this, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I only have tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession in the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life." Let's pray. Lord, this is the heart cry of so many of us. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so sad? Yet I put my hope in you. Lord, I just ask that over the next few moments that you might do your thing in our heart. That you might strengthen, encourage, and shape us in your image. May it be said of us that we were marked this day by you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys, be seated. So school is starting, and the conversations I'm in when I see people coming back for the beginning of kind of a fiscal year, that's kind of what I call school starting. It's the beginning of the year for a church family, and here's the question I hear. Well, how was your summer? How was y'all's summer? Good? Great? Somebody want to ask me how mine was? Thank you. The first service didn't care at all. Well, for 6 years, I put it off, and this summer, I had to do the thing I hate the most to do in the summer. I went to the beach. I hate the beach. Can I get a witness from anyone? I hate the beach. Well, Toby, why would you hate the beach? I grew up 15 minutes from the beach. I went to the beach like you guys went to the park growing up. I'm a beach expert. I have earned the right to hate the beach. Why do you hate it? Two things. Number one, I hate sand. Sand, there'd be no sand in heaven. Sand in your sandwich and your swimsuit. I have been blessed with no hair because grass don't grow in a busy street. But the problem is the sun moves during the day, and I spend half my time burning my feet in the sand, moving that thing so I don't fry like an egg on top of my head. I hate the sand. I hate the water at the beach. Someone asked me the other day, how was the water at the beach? I didn't go in the water. Why? I've been injured in the water. I've been stung by more jellyfish than I can count. And let me tell you something, that hurts. I found that when you go fishing a certain way, spear fishing, we called it floundering. We were trying to spear flounders. I speared a stingray one time that looked like a flounder, and his tail got stuck in my calf, and I had to have it removed. Let me tell you something. That wasn't no fun at all. I've stepped on stuff I don't know how many times. I don't go in the water. I don't like the beach at all. But if we were sitting down and having a longer conversation, I'd spend a little more time in telling you that below the sand and the water is, I have an irrational fear of the ocean. Now, I'm not talking about a healthy respect for the ocean. I'm talking about an irrational, makes no sense fear of the ocean. Why? Well, thanks for asking. When I was 7, 8, somewhere around there, one night before we went to bed, my mom and dad, I was listening in on a conversation they were having about a close family friend that had died that day surf fishing at the beach. They were talking about how much of a tragedy it was, and as they heard me kind of asking a couple of questions and moving closer, they said, this is why you have to be careful. There's an undertow. If you step in a hole, it can sweep you away before you even know it. Da-da-da-da. Went to bed. Laid down in bed that night. And I went, what if I drown the next time we go to the beach? Anybody ever get in a loop of asking a question of what if something happens? If you ask it long enough, you start believing, I'm going to drown. They're going to find my bloated body on the side of the beach somewhere, and it's going to be so sad. And I found myself getting so worked up as a little boy. I distinctly remember lying there with the tears running down my face saying, please, God, don't let me drown. Please, God, don't let me drown. I had no idea the thousands of times over the next 45 plus years of my life, I would be praying that prayer. Please, God, don't let me drown. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Our culture, your city, mine, that's our heart cry right now. You know that researchers tell us that the most common mental disorder in the United States is an anxiety disorder. That there was a survey done 6 months ago that said 53.8% of people surveyed report being more emotionally exhausted than they've ever been in their lives. Like the devil's lied to you, it's not just you. 53.8%. 53% report increased feelings of sadness in day-to-day life. 50% report being more irritable. 38.1% report increased insomnia. And 32.3% report increased anger. This is why everybody's mad all the time. Is anybody tired of everybody being mad? 40% June this year, 40% of Americans reported feeling anxious or depressed. Please, God, don't let me drown. Sounds a lot like the words of David in Psalm 42, the man after God's own heart, doesn't it? The waves sweep and crash over me. And yet, God, I put my hope and trust in you. The question is not, are you in, at some level, battling for mental health in the most uncertain, not yet season in the history of every one of our lives? The question is, how do you find the freedom that we sing about today? How does it become your reality? And when I'm not sure of something, I always go back to what I know, which is the simple and yet profound teaching of Jesus, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That when Jesus declared to be the way, the truth, and the life, it was much more than a declaration of faith, it was for a world that was to come. It was in this life. It's truth that sets you free. But what we don't talk about enough is that a lie believed has the same power to sink you that a truth has to set you free. Let me say that again. A lie believed has the same power to sink you, that the truth has to set you free. The problem isn't that we pray, please God, don't let me drown. David prayed it. The problem is we start believing that drowning is our destiny. We truly start believing we have resigned ourselves to a lifetime of please God, don't let me drown. And Jesus wants to teach us how to swim in the middle of water up to our neck. The Bible never teaches an absence of deep water. It teaches, here's how you swim. So I want to take just a few moments today, and I want to show you from the Word of God and from the University of Hard Knocks, personal experience, the three lies that cause most of us to sink. You might want to write these down. Number one, my problems signal the absence of God. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, if God was with me, then why did fill in the blank? Why did blank happen? Why do I feel blank? Fill it in. If God is with me, because we truly believe at some level the lie that when you are in trouble, especially if it's self-inflicted trouble, which is most of our trouble, that God somehow is distant. How many of you have ever had this thought, my prayers aren't getting past the ceiling? How many of you? Seriously, don't lie. Raise your hand in church. You know why? Because you don't sense God's nearness. And yet Jesus said the kingdom of God is within your reach. He's not past the ceiling. He's right there with you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not going, you ought to know better. He is near to the brokenhearted. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ask Daniel. Ask Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane whether challenges and problems signal the absence of God. Ask the Apostle Paul, who said, three times I prayed for this to be taken away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Nobody wants that on a coffee cup. What's your life verse? God said no. See, this is so important. I was at that beach. Did I mention I hate the beach? I was at the beach because I love my wife, even though I hate the beach. I'm watching my grandkids, and I'm watching how far they're willing to go out into the waves. It was directly tied to how close their daddies were. When their daddies were with them, they were fine with being way over their head. But when daddies were taking a break, I'll tell you this, Papa ain't getting in. Daddies are taking a break, they stay right on the edge. Some of us stay, like we miss what God is trying to do in our lives because we sense he's not there and we don't have the confidence to walk through it. Okay, number two, quickly. Am I talking to anybody today? Is this just me? Am I just having a conversation with myself? Number two, faith fixes everything. Big lie we believe is faith fixes everything. That's why you feel guilt or even shame about your depression, about your anxiety. Because somebody told you if you just had more faith, you wouldn't struggle. If you just prayed more, just read the Bible more. Do you know how many people have a wonderful plan for my life? You know how many people have emailed me? I've talked about this all over the world. How many people have emailed me, texted me, handed notes to my wife while I'm out shaking hands or praying afterwards, gotten through to me in some way, basically saying, hey, if bless your heart, if you just did this and this and this, listen to me, formulaic Christianity doesn't work because we don't need a God that we can fully understand. He's not big enough. There are no three steps to fixing your issue.
Faith doesn't fix your issue. It empowers you to move through your issue. Like, here's the thing. Everybody wants to be an overcomer, and nobody wants anything to overcome. How are you an overcomer if there's an absence of mountains for you to climb? Everybody wants to sing oceans. Nobody wants to get in up to their neck. Like, your faith gets activated in those moments. It's not the absence of faith. And by the way, I have this dream that the local church would become relevant again in their communities because we quit spouting out formulaic answers and start meeting people in their moment. Like what we did today, man. Our faith is verbal. I mean, that's why Jesus said, "Peace be still," to the storm. He could have just said, "Abracadabra." I mean, he didn't have to say anything. Just wave his hand. Why did he speak it? Because in the kingdom that he was ushering in, your faith has supernatural power to create new reality. What you were feeling today when these guys were singing about the heart of a lion, that wasn't because they're great instrumentalists, although they are. It's because you were saying something that's true about you. Yeah, but I feel like a hypocrite. No, it's called faith. What you ought to say is what you're not feeling in that moment, but you know to be true, for those two things to meet. I can't even get the words out, Randy. I mean, like how I feel is I have the faith of a rabbit. You know, I got the heart of a rabbit, not the heart of a lion. Why am I singing it with the tears running down my face? Because I want it to be true. That's my faith that gets me through. Number three. Now, I wrote something different in your notes. It's about to come on the screen. Let's start with the screen. The biggest lie that holds us back is the one of these days. One of these days. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, thanks for asking. If you look at your notes, what it says is that the lie that I believe my strategy is the same as God's purpose for my life. In other words, I know Pastor David's been teaching you about this, that you were created by God, for God, and that God wants you to use your gifts, your abilities, your passions to bring him glory wherever you are, that it's not more holy to be a pastor than it is to be a welder, that if God gave you that gift, weld to the glory of God and use that circle to make a difference in people's lives. Begin to see where you live is not just real estate, but a place God planted you to be salt and light in your community. There's nothing on the planet more thrilling than being used by God, right? But what happens is you get a calling or you discover your purpose, and then what you do is you build a strategy for how that's going to start happening. And the strategy is always up and to the right. You are convinced that you fulfilling your calling is going to be like Monday afternoon at lunch in the Chick-fil-A line. You're going to get in a couple of minutes, you're going to go, how in the world did I get through this so fast? I'm already eating lunch. And it's not. Usually your calling, you know what it is? It's like being in the elementary school pickup line the first week of school. It's like, dude, did they not let these kids out? Where's my kid? Why is that guy not moving? And what happens is you ought to have built a strategy, but you confuse God's calling. It wasn't God's strategy, it was yours. And you abandon the calling, the purpose, because your strategy isn't working the way you want it to work. Hey, man, his ways are not your ways. It's important to me because my calling happened in this city. It started on the third row of a pew on the far right side of a church over on the north side of town. It started with the announcements at the end of church when a youth pastor stood up and said, hey, we need some people to help in junior high ministry. If you'd like to help us afterwards, meet me here. Tomorrow, you guys need to quit leaving for the announcements. God might have something for you. I don't know why I went up and said yes to the dude, probably to impress my girl. Honestly, I mean, you think about, hey, don't laugh. Nobody's motives are pure this side of the cross. Build a bridge and get over it, dog. Just do the best you can. God will use it. So I go start teaching the kids. I start getting to know them. How many of you know in junior high ministry, like a warm body is like a gift from God? So he just kept giving me stuff to do. And I remember the day I looked at my wife, Micah, and I said, this is crazy, but these kids are listening to me. Like, I might be good at this. They're responding. And about 2 weeks after I had that conversation with her, I'm sitting in almost the same pew on a Wednesday night, because we all sit in the same place every time, and not a voice like Morgan Freeman's from heaven, but in me, I felt like the Lord said this: you need to give the rest of your life to the local church, and I'll help you make a difference and help a lot of people. And I won't even go into the story of me letting my now wife know that's what I felt like God was calling us to do. She married a full head of hair business major, and she was ending up with a bald-headed pastor. So I went to a mentor, and I said, hey, I feel like I heard God say this. And he said, well, it's about time. Why didn't you tell me? He said, well, you need to hear God say it, not me. And I said, what do I do? And he said, you build and you grow. What does that mean? You go find a place that either has a non-existent or a hurting youth ministry. You build it and you find someone who will invest their life in helping you grow as a spiritual father, spiritual mentor. So Mike and I moved to another city for about 18 months. The build part was there. The grow part was not. And so 18 months later, we moved to Oklahoma City. My spiritual father now, who was leading that church then, said, what would it take for you to come here? Because our ministry needs somebody to build it. I said, I need you to commit the next 6 years to invest in me so I can learn how to do what you do. He stuck out his hand and said, it's a deal. Went to weddings, funerals, cut out Reader's Digest stories from because we didn't have the internet back there. It was a happy place. We didn't have the internet. We'd cut out the stories. So here, could you use this as an illustration? I kept trying to bring value to him because I knew value brings access and it's honor. And I left. 6 years later, he throws a card on my table, says, okay, you kept up your part of the deal. Here's mine. And it was a church, and he wanted me to call the guy, and I called him, and I went and interviewed. And Mike and my wife and me and my two little kids moved to South Lake, Texas, which was a very small place back then. And God started blessing it. And people started coming. And we started watching hundreds of people come to Christ that turned into 1,000 people in this little up from a little old church. And I looked at Micah and I said, dude, can you believe all these years later? From that little pew that God's answering, like what he said was going to happen is happening. And then my world fell apart. Then I started waking up at night with my heart beating fast and sweating and my hands shaking. Now, nobody back then is talking about counselors or mental health. I have no paradigm for this. I just know for 17 days, I didn't sleep and I didn't eat very much. And I was scared to tell anybody. I would have people at church say, man, you look good. Are you working out? I wanted to say, no, I'm throwing up. Because that was the truth. And the day that I found myself driving south on I-35 with a growing church, a beautiful wife, two great kids, and everything, it takes everything I have not to drive into a bridge abutment. Because I had convinced myself that the world would be better without me. Like, I know what it's like to be there. Some of you have been there. And began a journey to find healing. I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder, which means you fight panic attacks for no reason. In the bad days of that journey, I would look at Mike and say, we need to quit, man. I've disqualified myself from this office. People deserve somebody better than me. On my good days, I would say to her, God's going to heal me. And when he heals me, I'm going all over the world. And I'm going to talk to people about being in the depths and look at what God has done. He can do it for you. And almost 30 years later, God hasn't taken it away from me. And somewhere along the line, I figured out that freedom is not the absence of anxiety, it's the presence of Jesus in the middle of anxiety. Because his strategy is different than my strategy. I had no idea that 30 years later, I will have traveled around the country and the world talking about this issue. I had no idea that when I was finally ready to share my story and what God was teaching me, that we released the book on Cross Timber's 20th birthday. I had no idea that as we came to the end of that series, and I was struggling for a way to wrap up the series that was really encapsulating the book, that I would have found in writing the book the story of a goby fish. It's a salmon with a better ending, really. Everybody knows the salmon swim upstream and then they spawn and die. Well, a goby is found only in Hawaii. And what they do is they spend the first half of their life in the ocean. And at a point when the tide is just right, they start swimming upstream, up these mountain waterfalls, and they spend the second half of their life in the freshwater pools at the top of these mountains in Hawaii. But what got me is when I'm reading the story and I discover that scientists have proven that halfway up those streams, the way they get to the top is their jaw starts growing. Now listen to me, when the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, that is bigger than when you see the stars in this beautiful West Texas sky, you remember how big God is. It's when you see creation, you see how God works. See, it's in the struggle that you get changed. You become who you are. The struggle is not the absence of God. The struggle God wants to leverage to create something in you, a strength you couldn't find outside of it. I haven't said this all weekend, and I'm not overtime yet, so I'm going to say this. There's not a day goes by that I don't ask God to take this away from me. I just don't need him to take it away from me to believe that he's real. And I shudder to think of who I would be if God hadn't allowed this thorn in my flesh. And so, as we're wrapping up that series back in 2020, celebrating our birthday, the last week I called my creative content director. She's here with me today, and I said, hey, I've got an idea for the last week. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to draw a picture of a fish and tell a kid's story. And she said, you don't know how to draw? I said, no, I've watched a YouTube video 7 times on how to draw a fish. Get me some easels. And so we got some easels, and I that weekend taught the story, and I obviously his name was going to be Toby the Goby, and I drew the pictures of he kept looking at the sun. It's basically, this is the story. You can do hard things. Because God is with you. Keep your eyes on the sun. You can even help other people along the way. And I drew the pictures, and the parents went ballistic. And they're, you got to write that book. And I go, dude, I just wrote one. I'm just getting started. I'm not ready for that. And I had no idea that a couple of months later, the nation was shut down. And that when the nation shut down, I went to my daughter-in-law, who in high school told me her dream was to write a kid's book. And I said, hey, about let's do Toby the Goby. And I had no idea in You know, everybody blames stuff being late for COVID. Sometimes it's because people are late. And kept saying, well, we can't get your book out because we're behind in production because of COVID. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Had no idea that when we were ready to release this book, that Harvard would report that the number of kids with anxiety and depression pre-COVID was 30% and is now at 66%. I had no idea that Seattle Children's Hospital was seeing record numbers of children coming to the ER for psychiatric care. Do you hear me? The ER, and the average age is 7. And I never would have dreamed that I would hear a university like Harvard state the obvious, that the number one indicator of mental wellness in children is the mental wellness of their parents. So Mike and I, we formed an organization called Gobi, and we have a dream. And the dream is to normalize the conversation around mental wellness and provide kingdom answers to real life problems. It's a big dream. You know, the marketplace understands this is an issue, right? If you go to Amazon and you look at the top items to help kids with anxiety, I've brought some of them. This is a weighted puppy blanket, which I think is awesome. I'm probably going to use it, you know? And they've got a drink. It says, it's called Drink Your Meditation. And my favorite probably is they have this scented Play-Doh that your kids can play with. And, of course, they have fidget spinners, right? We all have fidget spinners. And with this big box of fidget spinners, there's cards that tell kids that they're as special as a scoop of chocolate chip ice cream, which I think is awesome. I just think the church can do better than fidget spinners. I think he is the way and the truth and the life. I think we can teach kids that they can do hard things. I think we can avoid the extremes of quit being a baby and you poor baby. I don't want my kids to be defined by their struggle. I want to teach them how to move through it, but I want to be with them in a moment. You can do hard things. Why? Because God is with you. Get your eyes on the sun. Here's the crazy thing. You can help other kids along the way. That's how you get healed. And so our dream is to see 100,000 families hear that story before the end of this year. And I just say this, man. Micah knows I say this when I'm not on a microphone. Like, you are my second family. You really are. And so we pre-launched this at Cross Timbers. And I knew that I wanted to be here next because I want you to be a part. I don't want to sell a book, man. I want to start a movement, a community, right? The book is just a tool. I want to normalize the conversation. I'm going to tell you what my biggest dream is the church becomes the first place and not the last place hurting people want to come. That we decide we're going to be a shoulder and not a mouth. We're going to sit in this with them. We're going to help them. So how can you help? Well, thanks for asking. One thing I'm doing today is we're offering this book, Toby the Gobi, and inside is a QR code for an electronic download, another copy. So it's a 2-for-1 deal. Why am I doing that? Because this is a tool for you to, with your neighbors, your friends, the kids that your kids go to school with, to say, hey, man, I know the first of the year is overwhelming. Our church wants to bless you. Here's a kid's book. You can download it on your iPad, and your kids can read this story. What's it about? Well, it's about helping our kids understand that they can do hard things. God is with them. They even help others along the way. Y'all know the days of, hey, knocking on somebody's door and saying, if you die today, will you go to heaven? Like, that, those days are over. But if you can meet needs in the name of Jesus, and I want you to join this community. Inside the book, there's a little card that says beagobi.com. Again, I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm trying to start a movement, a family. I want you to go there and sign up. And what you'll get from me regularly is just regular encouragement. I'll tell you the worst three things you can say to somebody who's battling depression. My wife will tell you, here's ways you help somebody who's in the middle of anxiety, because she has a graduate degree in it with me. We'll give you encouragement, strength. At some point, we'll connect you with others digitally if you'd like to, and we'll build a community and we'll change the world. So let me finish with this. Full disclosure. The last 14, 17 days have been some of the most gut-wrenching, difficult emotional days that I can remember in the last 10 years. The reasons really aren't important. And last week, I noticed on my calendar on Tuesday that night I was supposed to be in a Zoom gathering reading Toby the Goby to some kids, and I just didn't want to. You know, the problem with pain is it makes the world all about you. You become a narcissist when you're in pain. Like if your leg hurts, really all you care is about your leg quitting hurting. Y'all get this, right? And I didn't want to do it. And I got home, and I'm going to have to do this. And got online, and I saw where the kids were a part of an organization called Hope Kids. Hope Kids is a nationwide nonprofit faith-based ministry that ministers to terminally ill kids. So I was about to read Toby the Goby to a group of kids, several of which have not been outside of their house since the pandemic began, and several of them who won't see their next birthday. And I start reading the book, and I was doing pretty good till I got to the part of, how many of you can think you can do hard things and watching these kids raise their hands? And at the end, I said, well, I want to tell you something. I'm going to send you a copy of this book because I want you to have it and to read it. And in the back, there's a place for you to draw Toby the Goby and Willie the Whale and Allie the Albatross. Send me your pictures. I want to see it. But make sure and share it with your friends. And they were excited about the book. And then their teacher said, oh, I have a surprise for you, Pastor Toby, and for the kids. We're going to send you two copies of the book so that you can share it with a neighbor or a friend in your neighborhood. And they went crazy. And I got off the call, and I just sat there, and I just wept. I said, God, I am so sorry for allowing my pain to make my world all about me. I want to be like these kids. What those kids will never know is the reason they got two books is because at Cross Timber, they had a guy come up to my team and buy hundreds upon hundreds of books and say, just give them to kids who need them most. That's how a movement starts, is we start doing stuff for other people, right? I think we can change the world. I really do. And I think in 2 weeks you can start changing Abilene. Because you're talking in this flip the script about things that people are dealing with right now. So can I just pray that for you, for this church family? Will y'all pray for us? Just pray for us, man, as we move forward. I do love you deeply. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for giving us dreams that are bigger than us, because that means we need you. Lord, I just speak life over people who've been feeling death because they've been depressed or anxious. I pray, Father, that kids in this area would find out they can do hard things, that you're with them. And I pray, Father, we might begin a movement of people helping other people along the way, not waiting for perfect conditions. So we bless you, Lord. We say it's your kingdom, your power, and it's always for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me and let's just honor this man. We are blessed by Toby and Micah and their friendship and their wisdom and their heart that they share with us. What a great day it's been. We're going to have our prayer partners come on down. So partners, if you would, make your way to the front. Pastors, elders, if you would, come on down, please. If you're not regularly around here, you might not realize we do this, but we gather together on Sunday mornings and we have a time of prayer and we ask the Lord, are there things specifically that you would like us to pray into today? So I want to share those with you and then we'll have our benediction. Someone reaching but never feeling they've hit the mark. Someone that has pain in the ear, carpal tunnel pain in your wrist. Someone is trying to make some adjustments in their life, but you sense God is wanting a reset. Someone from or has been to Slovenia, since there's a new assignment from the Lord for you. Someone bending over and twisting and your back gave out. Since there is a dad that is struggling to live out their relationship in their home and you're struggling to model their faith the way the Lord instructs. Lady wearing a heart-shaped necklace that is not solid, it's a cutout. So God wants to maybe speak or minister to you today. Someone has been wrestling the last month with the thought, there has to be more than this. So those are some of the things. We'd love to pray with you over anything else. So if one of those ministers to you, please come down. And if you've got something else, we'd love to pray with you. So if you would, go ahead and put your hands out in front of your, just out in front, extended. And as we just pray a blessing over you, it's just an outward expression of what we're asking the Lord to do internally. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your people with peace. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.